reminder of God's judgment. The book of Nehemiah opens in chapter 1 and verse 1 in the 20th year. That would be the 20th year of Artaxerxes, king of Persia. He would have followed Cyrus, the king of Persia. And we see that Nehemiah is in the king's palace in Shushan, serving the king. We read in chapter 1 and verse 2 that Hanani and certain men of Judah came to Shushan, and Nehemiah asked them a question, and he asked them how the brethren were doing in Jerusalem. The answer is recorded in verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So instead of a magnificent city, Jerusalem was still basically in ruins. And where there had once been glory, there is now reproach. In verse 4, we read of the effect that this news had upon Nehemiah and his response to it. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Verse 5, and I said, I beseech thee. And from verse 5 till to the end of chapter 1, we have recorded the prayer of Nehemiah. Coming to chapter 2, we see it is now in the month of Nisan, which would be the first month of the year. The book opened in chapter 1, verse 1, in the month of Chislu, which is the ninth month of the year. So you're talking 3 to 4 month time lapse between what you read in chapter 1 and what we have here in chapter 2. Well, the king in chapter 2 noticed that Nehemiah was sad, and he asked him why he was so sad. We see that in verses 1 and 2. Nehemiah gives his response in verse 3. And then in verse 4, the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? That is, Nehemiah, what is it that you want? What do you have to ask of me? And what we want to take our thought from is what Nehemiah says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And that'll be the subject of the message, so I prayed. It's a remarkable statement. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Prayer, of course, has a very significant place in the Word of God. All through the Word of God, it is a matter of great importance. It is a matter of great consequence. It is a matter of priority. We see this in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. The fact that throughout the Scriptures there are exhortations for you and I to pray speaks of the importance of prayer. It also speaks something of our nature that we have to be exhorted to pray. The fact that there are many, many examples of men and women praying under a great variety of circumstances and a great variety of places, all of these examples speak of the importance of prayer. The fact that there are many encouragements for you and I to pray speaks of its importance. An encouragement to pray, of course, is the character of God. God's very character is an encouragement for you and I to pray. The character of man is an encouragement to pray. The needs of man is an encouragement to pray. The fact that there is an advocate in heaven waiting to present our prayers unto God is an encouragement to pray. You don't have to pray a perfect prayer. You can't. But there is a perfect advocate that presents our imperfect prayers unto God. The fact that there is a Holy Spirit to help us in prayer, Romans chapter 8, is an encouragement to pray. The fact that we are invited to approach God in prayer serves as an encouragement for you and I to pray. And all of these encouragements, again, tell us something of the importance of prayer. The fact that the Lord taught about how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 tells us something of the importance of prayer. He said, after this manner, or after this way, after this fashion and method, therefore pray ye. That Jesus taught upon how to pray tells us two things. It tells us there's a right way to pray. It tells us there's a wrong way to pray. It also tells us that prayer is learned. It's something that we learn. And in learning how to pray, there are many lessons that we must learn. We must learn the lesson of man's emptiness and inability. If we're really going to pray, we have to learn that lesson. We have to learn that lesson well. Our emptiness, our inability. We also need to learn the lesson of God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. God is in control. That also serves as an encouragement to prayer. But the more we learn that lesson, I am insufficient. I am needy. God is sovereign. Those are two lessons that we must learn if we're going to be people of prayer. We also have to learn the lesson of our proper place before God, because no one truly prays without taking their proper place before the Lord. We also have to learn the lesson of right priorities. Many times we pray for the wrong things because our priorities are wrong. It's so important that priorities be right when it comes to praying. And that is why throughout the New Testament in particular, as you read the prayers of Paul, they're always about spiritual things. Always. And again, it's a matter of priorities. The fact that there is instruction throughout the Word of God concerning prayer speaks of the importance of prayer. The instruction concerning prayer is it is to be continual. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1 that men ought always to pray. What does that mean? That means that there's never a time when it's improper to pray. We ought to always pray. Not just when things are going bad, not just when we feel an urgent need, but we ought to always pray. This idea is expressed in Romans 12 and verse 12, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing in prayer. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what else we're doing, we are to continue in prayer. We see the same idea again in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer. That is, all kinds of prayer. Praying always. Colossians 4 verse 2. Continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. Pray without ceasing. That is, do not stop praying. So prayer is so important, so vital, that it is never to be abandoned. We are to pray without ceasing. Also concerning the instruction of prayer, it tells us that we're to pray about everything. Well, that shows that prayer is pretty important. Philippians 4 and verse 6, in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. You say, well, I've done such and such 1,000 times. I know how to do it. I can do it my eyes closed. In everything by prayer. We're to pray about everything. We're to pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, I will that men pray everywhere. Everywhere we are to pray. This instruction in prayer, we're to continue in prayer. We're to pray about everything, and we're to pray always, shows us that prayer is vital, shows us that prayer is important. The fact that God hears and the fact that God answers prayer speaks of the importance and the significance of prayer. The psalmist exclaimed in Psalm 65 in verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer. The fact that God hears prayer shows its importance. Christ's words in the context of prayer in Luke 11 and verse 9, he said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock are all different degrees or levels of praying. The idea that we are to persevere in prayer speaks of its importance. Jesus taught this again in the parable of the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18. He's teaching the importance of perseverance in prayer. And Paul in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer, with all perseverance, stressing perseverance in prayer. The idea conveyed by perseverance is the presence of difficulty, the presence of opposition, and the very fact that our flesh and Satan opposes prayer shows its importance. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is very, very difficult. That is real praying, continuing in prayer. Anybody can just say a prayer. Lost person can do that. But continuing in prayer, praying about everything, is no easy task because the flesh is opposed to it. Satan is opposed to it. And I believe Satan hates when God's people pray. He doesn't like when the people of God pray. The fact that prayer is a central part of our arsenal in the spiritual warfare speaks of its importance. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, now prayer is not technically a part of the armor. And we'll say something about that in a minute. But in Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The way we are strong in the Lord is in the power of His might. It's not our own strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, signifying that if you do not put on this armor of God, you will not be able, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he gives a characteristic of the warfare that you and I are engaged in, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're in a battle. And then he goes on and he mentions various pieces of armor, making spiritual application. And after you put all that armor on, the purpose of putting that armor on is to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says in verse 18, praying always. The armor by itself isn't enough. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The fact that prayer is a central part of our arsenal in this warfare speaks of its importance. What prayer is speaks of its importance. Prayer is a matter of the heart. It's not merely the work of the mouth. It's not merely words. In fact, Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, condemned mere lip service and formalism in prayer when he said, "Use not vain repetition." David spoke of prayer as a matter of the heart. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 27, he said, "Thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." And I wonder how many prayers do we find in our heart to pray unto the Lord. Prayer is a matter of the heart. Praying is described in the Word of God as a lifting up of the soul. Psalm 25 in verse 1. A lifting up of the soul, a lifting up of our innermost being. Lamentations 3 verse 41, it's described as a lifting up of the heart. Psalm 62 and verse 8, a pouring out of the heart. In 1 Samuel 1 and also Psalm 42, it's described as a pouring out of the soul. Praying involves preparation of the heart. In Job chapter 11, notice Job 11 and verse 13. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, talking about prayer, talking about a longing for God. But it takes a preparation of the heart. Prayer is an approach unto God. In all true praying, we make an approach unto God. That is, we draw near unto God. If after you have said a prayer and your heart doesn't feel any closer to God, you haven't prayed. You haven't done anything. Or if your heart feels further from God, you haven't done a thing. Prayer is a drawing near unto God. And it's one of our greatest privileges in this life. It's also one of our greatest needs in this life. Prayer is an expression of need. It is an expression of our need of God. And in Genesis chapter 12 and also Psalm 116, it is referred to as calling upon the name of the Lord. That is, there is an expression of need of God. If one doesn't pray, they do not feel a need for God. All prayer must have a basis. It must be based upon something. It is described as a crying unto God. Psalm 27 verse 7 and Psalm 34 and verse 6. A crying unto God. That speaks of more of a desperation. It speaks of an emergency. And as beseeching the Lord, Exodus 32 verse 11, that's a pleading with God. Job 8 verse 5, it's referred to as a seeking the Lord. In prayer, we don't just give God a list of demands or give God our wish list. Prayer is a seeking the Lord. It is a seeking of God's will. In fact, in Psalm 27 verse 8 and Isaiah verse 55 and verse 6 is referred to as seeking the face of the Lord. Seeking the face of the Lord. And all of this is an expression of need. And again, prayer needs a reason. Every time you and I pray, it's because we feel a reason to do so. Prayer is an expression of a longing for God. In all prayer, there should be a longing, a strong desire, a yearning for God to manifest His power, for God to manifest His greatness and His authority. And in all prayer, there should be a longing for God to be glorified. In all prayer, there should be a longing to know the will of the Lord. That is part of praying, is to seek the will of God. And then when you know the will of God, you still need to pray that God would give you the ability to carry out that will in a way that would glorify Him. In all prayer, there should be a longing to be in submission to the Lord as His subjects, and a desire to be in obedience to the laws of the Lord. All of this speaks of the importance of prayer. Prayer also is worship. It is true that prayer is an element of worship, but it's not just merely an element of worship. It is worship. In prayer, we worship God. All prayer should worship the Lord. Worship is a declaring the worth of God. Read the prayers of both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you will find that most of the time, the prayers begin with a praising of God, a declaring the worth of God. Not just, again, presenting a wish list for the Lord, but a declaring the worth of God. This is why we're to pray without ceasing. Are we to ever cease declaring the worth of the Lord? And all prayer should declare the worth of God. Prayer is a focus upon God. You cannot truly pray if you do not focus upon the Lord. Again, in Nehemiah 2 and verse 4, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Where was his focus? The God of heaven. Prayer must focus upon God. If prayer is just focused upon what we want or what we feel we need, our focus is wrong. Prayer needs to be focused upon the Lord. Worship is a reverence for God. And in all prayer, there should be a reverence for God. Prayer is taking our proper place before God. And in all prayer, man must take his proper place before God, which is, we are the subjects. He is the King. Worship consists of praise. And all prayer should show forth praise. Prayer also is an obligation. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, before he presented the parable of the unjust judge, he said, men ought always to pray. The word ought is a word of advisability, but it is also a word of duty. It is a word of responsibility. It is a word of obligation. It is advisable for you and I to pray. It is advisable for you and I to pray about everything. It is advisable that we never stop praying. It not only is it advisable, it is our duty, it is our obligation, we are responsible to pray. So prayer is a duty. With all of that being said, we come to this statement of Nehemiah. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Notice, so. In this instance, it would carry the meaning of, and for this reason, I prayed. Prayer needs a reason. And for this reason, I prayed. Now, the circumstances were the king, was the king said to Nehemiah, "For what dost thou make request? Nehemiah, I can see that you are sad. What is it that you want me to do? What is it, Nehemiah, that I can do for you to relieve you of your sadness?" And Nehemiah says, "So I prayed. So I prayed." He was faced with an opportunity to ask the king something, to make a request of the king. And it appears that the king is willing to grant whatever it is that Nehemiah asks. So this is an opportunity. Not everybody has this opportunity. And here's Nehemiah with this opportunity. And what does he do? "So I prayed." You know, many so-called opportunities have ruined people's lives spiritually. And if they would have just taken the time to pray instead of just jumping at what they perceive as an opportunity. The devil is an expert at presenting so-called opportunities. But this statement reveals several things about Nehemiah. "So I prayed." It reveals that Nehemiah realized that prayer was a great resource to him. In prayer, we find help in time of need. In prayer, we find strength. In prayer, we find enablement. In prayer, we find peace. In prayer, we find assurance. We can find relief. We can find comfort. We can find guidance. We can find instruction. And we can find wisdom. So here's this opportunity. "Nehemiah, what is it that you want me to do?" "So I prayed." And what do you think he prayed? Well, it doesn't tell us. But I imagine he prayed that God would give him wisdom what to ask, to guide him and to give him instruction. Nehemiah didn't just jump at the opportunity. "So I prayed." It also tells us that it was the impulse of Nehemiah to pray. You know, some people are very impulsive. That can get you in a lot of trouble. Get a lot of other people in trouble also. But it seems to me that it was Nehemiah's impulse to pray. Here's this opportunity, "so I prayed." That is, this was his instinct. It was his inclination to pray. It seemed to be the practice of Nehemiah to take everything to God in prayer. "So I prayed." Because I believe that's what he always did. We see him praying in Nehemiah chapter 1. He gets the news of what's going on in Jerusalem. And what does he immediately do? He prays. And now he's presented with this opportunity. And what does he do? "So I prayed." "So I prayed." Does this not also tell us that Nehemiah was in a condition to pray? If we are to pray continually, it seems to me that we must keep ourselves in a condition to do so. And prayer does require a certain condition. "He that regardeth iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not hear." You know there's sin in our, we know there's sin in our lives and we refuse to repent. You're talking to the wall when you pray. So we have to be in a condition to pray. It tells me that here's this opportunity. It was just a natural thing for Nehemiah to do. I prayed. It also shows us he was living in the awareness of God. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So I prayed to the God of heaven. If that is our natural, not natural, of course, by the flesh, but it's our habit of praying, we must, for that to be so, we must be living in the awareness of God. We must also be living in the awareness of our insufficiency. So here's this opportunity in verse 4. And Nehemiah says, so I prayed. And we want to make application, consider this statement with regard to the happenings of life. Again, Nehemiah was faced with what appeared, and it was, what appeared to be a great opportunity. So he prayed. In those words, so I prayed to the God of heaven, that needs to be our life. That needs to be our life. How many times can we say, so I prayed? All kinds of happenings come into our life every day, and how many of them can we honestly say, so I prayed, so I prayed, so I prayed, so I prayed? Well, I didn't need to pray. I knew what to do. You better pray anyway, because you might be mistaken. So I prayed. Those words, so I prayed, again, need to be our life. The circumstances, the situations, the happenings of life are innumerable. But this needs to be our life, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation. So I prayed. So I prayed. Whatever comes in our lives changes. Changes come into our life. What do? So I prayed. Dangers. We're aware of dangers in our life. What do? So I prayed. Temptations. So I prayed. Sorrows come into our life. So I prayed. Joys come into our life. So I prayed. Oh, this is when many do not pray. Joys come in their life. So they think, I don't have anything to pray about. You always have something to pray about. So I prayed. When joys come into our life, that needs to be, we ought to be able to say that. So I prayed. Gains, material gains, just seem to drop down out of the sky and come into our life. What do? So I prayed. Because believe it or not, material gains are more of a danger than if he takes away the material gains. So I prayed. So I prayed. Choices come into our lives every single day. We are faced with choices. And this needs to be our response. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Whatever the circumstances, whatever our concerns regarding our families, this needs to be our response. So I prayed. So I prayed. When it comes to our health, so I prayed. When it comes to our careers, so I prayed. Someone offers you a job and the pay is three times what you're making. Pray. Pray. Well, it's got to be God's will. God knows I have these bills. This is it. This is it. And off they go. And all along, it's a trap of the devil. So I prayed. Oh, if we would just, if this were our life, we wouldn't make many of the decisions that we make. So I prayed. When it comes to finances, perhaps there's more bills than money coming in. So I prayed. Perhaps you don't have any financial worries at all. So I prayed. That needs to be our response. So I prayed. Our relationships with people, they can grow stronger. They can grow sour. But whatever it is, this needs to be our response. So I prayed. So I prayed. Have a problem with so-and-so. So I prayed. Don't have a problem with so-and-so. So I prayed. This needs to be our life. So I prayed. When it comes to our hearts, perhaps our hearts are in the best spiritual condition they've been in for a long time. So I prayed. Need to pray. Perhaps your heart is not where it ought to be. So I prayed. Perhaps our minds are not where they ought to be. So I prayed. Perhaps our minds are where they ought to be. So I prayed. Perhaps our emotions are not where they ought to be. So I prayed. Perhaps our feelings aren't where they ought to be. So I prayed. That needs to be our life. So I prayed. It needs to be what we do. No matter the circumstance. No matter the situation. So I prayed unto the God of heaven. Tomorrow comes. It's time to get up in the morning. The alarm clock goes off. So I prayed to the God of heaven. There's no better way to start the day. So I prayed to the God of heaven. It's time to read the Word of God. So I prayed. So I prayed. It's time to go to work. So I prayed. I'm on my way to work. So I prayed. I arrive at work. So I prayed. Work goes on through the day. So I prayed. This needs to be our life. So I prayed. Wednesday comes. Sunday comes. It's time to go to church. So I prayed. We're sitting in the church house. It's time for the preacher to get up and preach. So I prayed. The preacher is preaching. So I prayed. The preacher is done preaching. So I prayed. It is time to go home. So I prayed. Again, this needs to be our life. Whatever the event, this needs to be so. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So we must ask and examine ourselves. How often are these words true in our lives? So I prayed. So I prayed. It's not good enough to get around to it 3 or 4 hours after an event takes place. It needs to be our inclination, the first thing we do. So I prayed. So I prayed. To what extent is our life characterized by prayer? What role does prayer have in our life? Is it a central part of our life? Is it a major part of our life? Or do we just every now and then bring a wish list to the Lord? Or we feel a problem that we can't solve. We've tried everything, and we finally figure out, Lord, I can't do this, so last resort, I better go tell the Lord about it. The Lord should not be our last resort. He ought to be our first resort. So I prayed. And it ought not just be when things aren't going the way we think they should go. When everything's going great, we ought to be praying. So I prayed. So what role does prayer have in our life? Is it central? Is it a major part of our life? Is our life marked by prayer? Hear the words of Nehemiah, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Oh, that our lives would be marked by those words. So I prayed. So I prayed. I pray that those words would stick in our minds. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Again, that requires that we focus upon the Lord, that we focus upon Him. You see somebody in need. You see somebody hurting. So I prayed unto the God of heaven. Lord, what should I do? So I prayed. So I prayed. And then even when you know what to do, you better pray how you ought to do it to the honor and glory of God. And then after you've done doing what you're supposed to do, then you need to pray again that the Lord would not cause you to get the big head. We need to always be praying. So I prayed. When we feel pride coming on, so I prayed. When we feel anger and bitterness coming on, so I prayed. Do you see how many problems that would answer? How many problems would never even exist? If this was our life, so I prayed. Perhaps we're thinking about saying something, so I prayed. A lot of things would never be said if people prayed before they spoke. A lot of things would go unsaid. So this needs to be our life. So I prayed. So I prayed. So and so offended me, so I prayed. So and so hurt my feelings, so I prayed. That's the answer. That's the answer. Oh, that we would be a people of prayer. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.